And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Holly Eva, the station that loves you. And that was Pink Floyd, Lost for Words, and that's kind of a perfect song to segue into some of the things that we might be feeling here at Kauai Soapbox Live.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, it's kind of a big week we have here, and I have three guests in the studio. I have Fern. Fern, let me see if you're mic'd up.
Aloha, Kauai.
There you are. And Saul Khan.
Aloha. How's it?
And Larry Schneider.
Aloha.
Right on. So today, we are still in the KKCR Fund Drive, and I really want to give a shout-out to different people who have already made some donations, and the show goal for today is $3,000. We have been blessed by a couple of listeners on the west side, starting us off already at $600. So thank you to my west side men who have gifted us already. But KKCR is all volunteers, and we really need people to help keep the station open. You know, it's the equipment, it's the electric, it's a lot of different little things that we do to keep it up. So call Dr. Basco, who's sitting there by the phone at 826-7774 is the better number to be calling for donations. And we appreciate that. And I did bring in three of my little books, Life is the School, Love is the Lesson, just as an extra premium during this show, because I just have them and I can give them away while we're here. For people who give $75, I'm going to give you a personal thank you for that. So you can, you know, have that as an extra incentive. So, Fern, Saul, Larry, big week this week. Everybody's just almost stunned, like lost for words. That's what we just heard from Pink Floyd there. And everybody's almost as a loss for words. Have you noticed the big gasp that kind of just has kind of crossed this whole island as our Bill 2491, the pesticide right to know bill, was vetoed by their mayor?
Yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking for me personally. We were one of the people, I was one of the five people that was in the pre-veto meeting, I call it, where they called
us
in, six it turned into, that were told before the announcement was made. And it's been a very difficult last few days trying to figure out how we all kind of deal with this as a community. It's personally difficult for me because I have a lot of respect for Mayor Carvalho. And I was really personally disappointed. I released my letter today to him and made that public as well. And, you know, I'm positive overall that this situation is going to get better no matter what and that we're making monumental headway. And I'm just kind of keeping my eye on the prize and not allowing us to be deterred in any way from the goals.
Yeah, it was very difficult for me too because I consider him a friend and I actually really like him. And I felt the choice to make that veto is even larger than Bill 2491. I was stunned. And it seems like it's not only bad for the island, it's bad for him personally. You know, like so many people love him.
Yeah, well, that was my response. It's a personal thing. When he, you know, my final statement to him before we walked out of the meeting was basically I looked him in the eye and said, you know, when you pick up that pen and you sign whatever you decide to sign, whether it's the bill or the veto, the real person that it's going to be affecting is you. And your future and how, you know, you move forward in the community. It's not going to affect us and our goals. It's not going to stop us from getting to where we want to get to and protecting our community. And, in a lot of ways, it'll probably inspire us to work that much harder to get to where we need to be.
Well, I think it creates political super weeds out of us, you know. When they have, you know, basically stopped even labeling it. That's the thing I think that stuns me, is like when you say just label the food. If they were proud of the food, they would have a little Shazam that says GMO inside, you know. you would brag about it. You wouldn't spend millions and millions of dollars to frustrate anybody's ability to know what's in there. And when we're not even saying don't spray, just saying say what you're spraying, that's pretty minor. But when they opposed the label bill, well, what did they get as a result? Well, they got a pretty big backlash with Bill 2491 and really mobilized a whole lot of people. Well, now they've done another big pushback through, I feel like they must have leveraged the mayor somehow. I can't understand why he would do that. You know, when I look at the lawyer's letters, and none of it seems consistent to me. But I think that the backlash, the blowback for frustrating this very polite, I won't call it a demand, it really wasn't a request, but it's very tepid, very tepid. I felt like the Bill 2491, as the time it got to being vetoed, that was a very, very small step. So I think that the blowback after that's going to be even stronger.
You know, I have a lot of conflicting feelings on him vetoing the bill, obviously. You know, he says he wants to make it stronger and the legalities of it. And I'd like to trust him and believe him, but right now, just like Fern says, I'm really disappointed in his decision as a mayor. I think this was a really simplified bill after it got gutted, especially to pass, just saying that we need buffer zones to protect the children at the schools, hospitals, communities. It's kind of a no-brainer to me, especially for a community leader to say, yeah, of course we have to do this. So when it was vetoed, I mean, I was literally heartbroken for a moment. I dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. And I know he thinks the state's going to come in and save us, but they haven't. There's been requests for it, and they haven't. But now that Bill 2491 was put on the table, biotech is saying, whoa, wait a minute. You said we weren't going to get regulated. But now we're getting regulated. Abercrombie had to step in, and so that's where my feelings are on this.
I liked in Fern's letter you made a metaphor of the person who is subjected to family abuse, like an abused child, and then the parent says, okay, we'll stop hitting and give it back. I think that that's what it feels like, saying we're going to let the state regulate it.
I have to give credit to Malia Chun for that, because she actually brought that analogy forward in the meeting that we had with Mayor Carvalho right beforehand, and she said that to his face. You know, she said in tears that, you know, I feel like, so now you're telling us that we're the abused children and you're going to send us back to our abuser? Like, you know, and it really triggered with me as a way to, you know, really see how a lot of people feel about this. You know, we finally got some sort of stroke of hope in the community, and, oh, we got a win. You know, it might be a small win. We get the right to know how we're being poisoned, and we get to figure it out. But, you know, it's a win for the people. And then to have it ripped out from underneath people is really difficult for a lot of these people, especially those that are directly affected, to deal with.
But I don't think that the mayor was trying to rip it away from anybody. The way that I've seen it play out is the company utilizes fear as a motivational base, and they confuse people purposely. They try to talk about science, and the implication is that what they're doing is good science. They throw out terms like nuisance, and they create this sense of, are you doing the right thing, because we are doing something that's so good for the world. And when I listened to the mayor, what his position for defending it was fear-based. But when I read the legal opinions, the legal opinion was written as fear-based. It was almost as if someone had given the county attorney the task of write everything possible that you could attack, but nothing to defend these outrageous claims. And when I read it, I just think that they overwhelmed the mayor by giving him information that he couldn't possibly understand in 10 days. And then a county attorney who wrote an essay that was looking for all the potential flaws and pitfalls. And I read it and I thought, my God, is this defensible? This is so defensible, because it didn't speak about any of the rights of the county, any of the rights of the people. And I think they got to him through fear.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not surprised. I really am not surprised. What it did ultimately was, what he did, I believe, was a terrible decision, but I don't think it was intentional or malicious.
I don't either. I really don't believe that he's purposely trying to put anyone in harm's way. I definitely don't believe that for a second.
You know, even he was talking about the right to farm. And when you read it, it gives a lot of the reasons why you can't disrupt farming.
Right.
But that's not what we're dealing
but
with.
But we also addressed that earlier on in the process, in the very, very beginning, when Gary and I were looking at that Farm Act. We talked about that, and it's only applicable to claims that are like lawsuits. It has nothing to do with the county creating new laws. It has to do with people suing farmers for dust and nuisance and stuff, but it has nothing to do with the council creating laws to protect us from such things. It only has to do with lawsuits.
But when the chemical companies were speaking, and people like Kirby Kester and Cindy Goldstein, they would throw out terms that the council and now the mayor's repeating, nuisance. We don't want these nuisance things because that's in the law. But the right to farm, the exact line is here, it's let me not paraphrase it, with generally accepted agricultural and management practices. And that's not what we're dealing with. The issue isn't accepted agricultural practices. It's the combination of chemicals that are being experimented on.
And then the right to farm bill is trying to restrict adjacent neighbors. It really isn't designed to restrict the government from being able to look after it. There is a documentary. I've watched so many documentaries, I think, okay, I don't have a time for another one. It is on YouTube. It's called TV3 Documentary, then Let Us Spray, and it's from New Zealand. And I watched it, and I thought, well, I'll watch 5 minutes, and I watched a little longer. I ended up watching the whole hour of the program. And it was really upsetting to listen to the very clear elements of birth defects and generational damage and cancers and poisons and stuff like that that happened in New Zealand, or is continuing to happen in New Zealand. And when you listen to their Department of Health and different people like that, it feels like what we're hearing here, you know, the apologetics for a very serious problem. We're hearing it here also, you know, where they just say, well, you know, you can't really tell, or, you know, adjusting things and saying the cancer rate isn't higher. And when you see along the street, and we've had several different streets of people in the show here, that them and all their neighbors are sick, their whole families are sick, people are dying all over the place. And so when they say, well, it's not significant, it's anecdotal. Well, it's a pretty powerful anecdote. So it's really hard to see that ignored.
Well, part of why they are able to do that is they clump the entire population into the group. And if you're going to look at the effect of the pesticides in terms of disease and cancer, you would look at the adjacent neighbors, the adjacent property owners. And when you clump the entire island, it dilutes the effect in quiet. So the study that the state released was purposely misleading.
Right.
Yes, it was purposely misleading. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, and we are in our Fun Drive week. And if you appreciate some of the voices that we are giving that mainstream media does not give forward and raising attention to these issues, please call in at 826-7774 to help us out. And I'm going to play our Wave Riders, some of them who have already donated some money. Is it coming on? Wait a minute.
.gov/recycling. Help keep our garden aisle green. Recycle.
Westside Pharmacy, offering compounding services and helping keep Kauai healthy for over 30 years. Westside Pharmacy, 335-5342.
Anahola Stringed Instruments. Proud KKCR founding member, Kauai made koa guitars and ukulele since 1972. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com, 822-1645.
Kauai Food Truck in Koloa, gourmet fusion food, local products. On Facebook and Twitter, Kauai Food Truck, serving you with aloha.
Knuckles the Hound of Hanalei supports KKCR. Book 2 will be in stores late November or online at everybodyknowsknuckles.com.
Kauai Waterwell, finding water from the rock for the people of Kauai for 25 years. Kauai Waterwell, 651-9165.
Kayak Kauai, now with 3 waterfront locations. Hanalei Boatyard, Coconut Coast, and Wailua River Marina. 808-826-9844.
Barracuda Restaurant and Living Food Market, proudly supporting KKCR, local farmers, and healthy, sustainable, non-GMO agriculture for Kauai. Barracuda Restaurant and Living Foods Market.
Volunteers at the Hanalei School Garden, teaching our keiki about seed saving and organic farming for a healthy community. Volunteers at the Hanalei School Garden support KKCR.
Magic Dragon Toy and Art Supply, offering unique and creative toys for the whole family, along with a wide selection of fine art supplies. Open 9 to 6, 7 days a week at Princeville Center.
Long Hair Productions loves KKCR and presents Los Lobos at Kauai Beach Resort Sunday, November 24th at www.longhairproductions.com or 808-337-9234.
Bill Fernandez, Hawaiian author, supports KKCR because it sounds, entertain, educate, and enlighten us. www.kawaiibillfernandez.com.
SOS, Save Our Seas, Malama Kai. Pack your trash, Aole Opala. New gear and reef exploration, saveourseas.org.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. It is so important to have the support of listeners like you. So I appreciate your calling in to 826-7774 to support our message and our effort. So there are things that we can do and things that are being done. And many prongs, I've been seeing a lot of pieces that are coming out and people speaking about different possibilities. Fern, is there anything in particular that I know one big piece is to do the veto override? That's a very important and next step.
Absolutely. That's our next step, working on getting the override, which is 5 or more votes from the county council to override the decision to veto.
And so this Thursday is going to be a special county council meeting at 9 a.m. that is about whether they're going to, in fact, recognize the veto to override it. Do I have that correct?
I believe so. Thursday, and then I believe tomorrow is the EFIS resolution council meeting as well about the environmental and health impacts.
Okay, I have that loaded up, and we can listen to that in just a moment and see if that's correct.
And on Thursday, it's not going to be the vote for the override. It's just going to be public testimony.
Oh, okay.
Right, taking a public testimony?
It's going to be public testimony. I don't know about it's even public testimony. We can listen and see what that is. The main element would be if they're going to even acknowledge it. You know, they can just not acknowledge it and let it pass. And we've been having this really rough game of, you know, filling the room with blue shirts or red shirts, you know. And I think it makes a difference who they're looking at. If they're looking at people who are, you know, for the bill or against the bill, it influences what they do. It sounds like we have a caller on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Smith.
Okay, aloha, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm upset about the GMO thing also, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to vote for the mayor on the next run. He's an ex-professional football player. He's not scared of anything. So I'm not sure what happened with him and his wallet, but he didn't go the right and do the right thing. Also, on a good note, why Poco Falls is flowing. I was up there at Coquette today.
Wow. Why do you think that's open?
Because they turned the valve to turn the water back on. That was all the water they were using there to irrigate this guy's GMO fields. So this is the first time in 2.5 years I've seen Waipoo actually flow. It's beautiful, man. It's
Did you get some pictures?
Just mental stuff. There's okay. photos out there. There's a bunch of tourists up there snapping shots. And I told them, this is the first time, guys. And they're excited to see it. So that's a good thing. And boo on the mayor.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I think it brings up a really good point. You know, Syngenta's leasing $50 an acre from, is it Grow Farm?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's Grow Farm. And I think part of the deal was they were with the state and Grow Farm that they would help fix the irrigation tunnels up in the mountains. And I'm sure when they came over here and they said we're going to do some agriculture, they didn't tell Grow Farm or Gay and Robinson that we're going to be doing experimental poisoning, basically, of your island. We're just going to be growing some corn. And we'll fix your irrigation canals and up in the mountains. So I think they kind of slipped their way in like that. And it's a really good point with that last caller saying that the waterfall is flowing again. We really need that. This island's a little sick right now. We need to heal her.
Yeah, I think with that valve open, it'll help to clean up Waimea River. That was a part of it that's kind of dried out that river. Thank you for calling in with some of the donations. We really appreciate that.
And Sal, I think the money to fix the irrigation canals came from the state.
It did.
The companies were claiming that they were the ones that the advantage of having them here was that they would repair it. But then some of the people have been investigating, and that money came from the state. It didn't come from the companies. Hmm. So $50 in a year to lease, and the state will pick up the tab.
Well, what I have found out is that there is nothing like a bond on the land. There's no bond like of when they leave. If they leave a contaminated soil, that there is a cleanup amount. So we don't have that. So that's really unfortunate.
Speaking of cleanup, I was driving behind Mahalapu area last week, and I saw one of the cornfields a big pile of the black plastic that they use for irrigation. Two big piles, actually. And I was happy that they're starting to clean it up. You know, I'm sad it took this long and there's been so much pollution. And I saw in the dirt all the black plastic still sticking up everywhere. They didn't get it all, nearly, at all. But, you know, they're making an effort to clean it up. And, you know, I respect that. I think that's what we need.
But don't you think that's part of the disappointment with the veto is that there's a lot of momentum. There's creation of awareness, even with the companies, so that people are starting to take an active role. And I think that's where that blah feeling comes from when all of a sudden it just got stopped for no particular reason that the people who've been fighting so diligently for and relentlessly to get things like clean up the plastic pipes.
For sure. That veto brought about so much awareness on this entire island. I mean, I've been having more and more people talk to me, email me, call me, and ask me about it on the street, in the water. Like, what's going on? What's really happening? And that wasn't as big as a topic before. I mean, we still talked about it, but now it's even bigger.
I feel like I have so many engaged people on it. Almost everybody I run into, I can't go to the grocery store or walk anywhere without somebody
right?
bringing it up. I want to give a shout out to Mimsy and Mark for doing their part to support Kauai Community Radio, and we love you too. We have another caller on the air. Oops. I lost them. So call back, caller.
You know, the Hawaii Right to Farm protects the agricultural practices and protects the farmers from nuisance suits and things like that. It gives them the right. And when I was reading over it, something just clicked where I thought the laws that are written to bias towards giving the commercial entities an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading it, I thought, you know what? I'm not necessarily opposed to giving them the right, but in the bill, and what we're fighting for is the drift off the farms, into the waters, into adjacent properties. Why don't maybe we need to shift the paradigm where we say, on your piece of land, if you want to do something that would that may be acceptable to you, but why should there be any tolerance for drift off of the land? Why are we talking about buffer zones when
right.
really it should be 100% containment
totally
on your piece of land? Don't get it in the water. Don't get it on the children. And don't let the drift go. Why do we have to defend it? Why does a county attorney
we have to
defend it with yeah. fear?
That's where we started. Do you remember that, Saul? Yeah. It was actually Aaron's idea. He yeah. came up in with the concept of managing the runoff and managing
runoff of your neighbor's
escapes.
Yard,
like,
yeah.
like I said, surely it can't be legal like for anybody to pump something into their grass or into their river or into whatever that spreads into their neighbor's yard. Like, certainly that's a violation of some sort of property right to have, like, a clean property. Like, if your neighbor is dumping all kinds of stuff and every time it rains, it runs down into your river or your pond, how is that legal? And we really looked at that in the beginning. It's a very interesting aspect of the law, and it's even, I think we... That was the focus when we came together about Bill 2491.
That
That's
was
really
the very
where we,
first
the
conversation
very first
we had.
Conversation was yeah. really founded around that. How do you control not only drift and runoff, but also pollen drift mm-hmm. from genetically modified unapproved crops? I mean, to me, that's where the whole thing is connected. People have a hard time connecting the GMOs and the pesticides, but to me, it's one definition, it's one word, and it's still the same fundamental concept of protecting your property and you having property rights to not be invaded by somebody else's poisons.
But that's what they use. I think that's what was used by the county attorney to defend the to create the fear to make the to allow the mayor to veto it.
Yeah.
I think there's still the belief out there that you're not going to be able to use home use pesticides, Raid and whatnot. But actually, that's not the case whatsoever.
Even though they do actually create harm. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA, Kilauea, and we have a caller holding. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. This is Aria.
Hi.
Hey, Aria.
I am calling in to share a new initiative that me and all of my friends have just started. It's called VoteKauai.org.
Kauai.org?
VoteKauai.org.
Vote.
And it is a voter registration drive, and then it's going to be candidate information and recruitment. And I am just trying to get some volunteers who want to help us get some more people that are living on Kauai registered to vote.
So it's called VoteKauai.org.
Yes.
All right. I think that sounds good. So people could go in there and register to vote.
Is that up?
They can go in and register to vote, and they can also fill out a form online if they're interested in helping do some voter registration around the island.
Right on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Aria.
Bye. So it seems like there's a lot of things. I know some people I've heard that a recall petition has been pulled for the mayor. Do you guys know anything about that?
Yeah, yep. We do.
That's one of them.
So a recall petition, let's just talk about that for a moment. I know that it's really only about a year until the next election, but sometimes there is a lot of value in doing a recall. It's a tough thing to go through. A recall is like an impeachment. And do you guys know anything about that?
I know that the Pass the Bill Coalition is launching a recall campaign and trying to get the signatures required for a recall. I believe that what it is around 8,000 signatures of Kauai voters or something.
8,200.
8,200, something around there, that we would need for a recall. It would then result in an emergency election to find a new mayor.
And so does our mayor even have an opponent or somebody running against him for this next season that we know of? Has anybody pulled papers to be running for mayor?
Yeah, Fern for mayor.
No. I don't think there's any official candidates as of yet, no.
So that's kind of an
So we're seeking.
I think that's in Kauai politics, we're very polite. People rarely even like to battle. It's nice when it's just so gentle. I know Ron Cochi basically was appointed into his position. He has run once now, but he has not had a serious opponent. Derek Kawakami was appointed and hasn't had... he didn't even go on the general election because he was unopposed. So, you know, and both of them are kind of known pro-GMO supporters. Actually, all four of our legislators, they have done a little bit. Dee Morikawa has done the most, and that's difficult because she represents the West Side. But we don't very often, we're too polite to sit there and compete with each other.
You know, it's the anti-GMO, anti-pesticide movement, whatever you want to call it, it seems to just be getting stronger and stronger with more and more awareness. And we need some people like Gary Hooser and Tim Bynum, more on the council in our government offices that are looking out for the people. It's really a shame that we have to put out these recall petitions for the mayor. It's it really hurts that we have to do this. I mean, he seems like such a kind, loving man, and he has a lot of my respect. But yeah, like Fern said, if there's anyone out there that feels like they want to make a difference, make a change, now's the time. We're looking for a new mayor. We're looking for a couple seats for the county council. If you're interested, you know, get a hold of us.
I think, you know, as far as I know, the whole field is pretty wide open in terms of our legislator, too, because that's where it's going to go next. And, you know, I really would like to be seeing our legislators coming out and encouraging us that they are really going to make sure. I want to hear that from them. They are going to make sure that the county is not disempowered from having the right to protect the health and wellness of the people and the land. I know last spring they ended up voting to help us retain that, but that was another people's movement demanding it in the Right to Farm Bill. Like, I want to see our legislators leading it, not simply responding.
I just want to say how proud are we of the people of Kauai and all through Hawaii. But, you know, I'm going to give a shout-out to Kauai and all the people I've been seeing standing up for what they believe is right. And really, I mean, kids, parents, adults, grandparents, and it's beautiful. People are really starting to take notice that, like you said, in Argentina, there's problems over there in different parts of the world. And people didn't believe it was happening here. They don't want to believe it, but it is actually happening. And now people are noticing. They're standing up. The movement is growing. And I'm just so proud of the people of Kauai. And it's so so humbling to be part of that.
And it's, for me as a participant here at KKCR, it's really an honor to be right in the middle of the mecca of everything that's happening. This is a people's bill, a people's movement.
100%.
It was the people more than even the council members that brought this up. You guys really brought it forward. And the other islands are jealous of us that we have so much activism. But one of the biggest elements that we have going on over here is KKCR and a voice for the people to be really focusing on these issues. And so I hope that callers will call in at 826-7774 and help keep us on the air. Again, thank you, Mimsy, Paul, Mark, love to you for helping support us and get us towards our goal.
Now, please call in and make donations, everyone. KKCR and community radio in general, it has been very supportive, and they're really looking out for the best for the island and its people. And this is something we need to support, and we need everyone's help. And the one thing I'm learning from all of this is that every single person makes a difference. Every single person.
And every single person can make a big difference.
Big difference.
Big difference. And for many of the people who are almost shy on the West Side that have called me either at home or in different ways, you guys have woke me up. You know, I didn't really address this issue very much till I started hearing from the West Side. And that's another manipulation when they say this is dividing the island and this is North Shore people. This is, we might be being the barking dog for the West Side, but this is the West Side reaching for help. And this is the rest of the island reaching back, and but for the grace of God go we. I mean, we could be the ones that are in the drift and the downwind.
You know, Felicia, one of the cool parts about it, it's not division. Geographically, the west side is on the west side, the north side is on the north side. But the common thread that goes through the movement is a sense of belief in humanity and compassion for humanity. And I think it's pretty cool that people that are not geographically affected by the pesticides as much as others are stepping up to be part of a compassionate movement for people that they're defending and helping to support, even if they aren't personally involved. And that's I think the beauty of it. And to try to create a divisive issue out of it is absurdity. It's just bizarre. And I think people always talk about, well, one voice can't be heard, but I think KKCR is symbolic and goes along with this movement, that the collective voices of people make a huge difference.
For sure. It doesn't matter if KKCR is on the North Shore, on the East Side, South Side, or West Side. It's really about what they stand for. It's about what the people stand for. This movement's all about love.
Yep. We have another one of the people on line one. It doesn't matter which line. Hello, you're on the line. Aloha.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. You know, of the there's like a couple of dozen of people that are standouts of this movement, like you, Felicia, the lady sitting next to you, what is her name? You know, Fern, you know, women like Tracy on the west side, Clayton, you know all the people. The people that, wouldn't it be nice if one of you people or a number of you people could run for mayor or could run for the city council or could become a legislator?
Well, speaking of that, Fern and I have, our names are sort of on the list for the county council replacement for Nadine. A lot of people are. I want to give a shout out to Mason Chalk and Pat Gigan, and I think there's a lot of good people who are coming forward to maybe doing that. I just learned today, though, that you need to have the endorsement of one of the council members, so I don't know who all is really coming up, but that's going to be looked at soon.
Well, good, because it just goes to show what one person like the mayor can do to squash all the hard work of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And so I just hope, even though I'm not qualified...
He didn't squash it. Still alive.
Well, yeah, it is, but he said it back. But you know, I just hope a lot of you dedicated people that are qualified, even though I know it's hard to do. You might already have jobs. You might already have prior commitments and this and that. But it's like you said, you know, there has to be good opponents to run against that opponent, or else it just like becomes like stagnant.
Right, and it's a whole team effort. Like if you change an administration, you have to change a lot of how the whole overlook is done.
Well, it's a huge responsibility. It's a huge commitment and a sacrifice, you know, for somebody like, let's say, Dustin Barker, or like what you said, either you, Felicia, or the lady sitting next to you, to all of a sudden change your lifestyle or do something to do it. But that's what it takes, because, like I say, there's a few dozen people that are standouts in this that have the notoriety to gain all the votes. And I hope somebody can fill the role, and good luck to anybody who chooses to do so.
Thanks
a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So the collective voices, as we get together, the last caller was talking about how the mayor derailed it. He didn't derail it.
No.
This is just a little setback. The focus has to be on what is right for people, humanity, and we're going forward.
Right on. We have another caller. You're on the air.
Thank you. I think an important part of this discussion, and you brought it up a bit, is the role that KKCR plays in all of this, and what we're facing with this whole GMO issue is the power of the corporation in our society today. And you look at the media today, and it's largely dominated by corporate interests as well, who can dominate what the discussion is and how the discussions are controlled and what the message is. And KKCR is the one independent media outlet that we have on Kauai for voices like yours, Akamai listeners, and educated, smart people who want to get their voices heard, to actually get the message out to the community and have these discussions grow from a small little seed to what it's become, the movement it has. So the value of this little radio station should not be underestimated by any stretch, I think.
Well, thank you so much. And I am going to donate $100, and I am hoping that I'll have some callers at 826-77774 that will match my... Are you Larry? Larry just said yes, so Larry's donating $100 too.
Well, so you put your money where your mouth is, and you're so wonderful with all the hard work you put in, Felicia, and all these great people you bring into the studio. So I just hope that the people out there listening appreciate it and are willing to drop a few bills on KKCR to allow this discussion to continue happening, because without it, I'm not sure where this discussion would go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Aloha. Yeah, and again, for people calling in, I am also offering my little book. What I do, my straight job, is helping kids and helping families learn how to be free and independent learners. So life is the school, love is the lesson. That's my own premium that I'm adding. So I want to, again, I want to thank, too, Wendell and Clayton, Mimsy, Paul, Mark, Ray, Bhavani, and Nico, and Larry for donating. Thank you all. Let's hear the County Council report, because we were speaking of what is going on tomorrow.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the County Council report for the week of November 4th. There will be a regular council meeting on Wednesday at 9 a.m. and also a special meeting at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Both meetings will be in the council chambers at the historic county building in Lihue. The purpose of the special council meeting is to receive communication from the mayor submitting his veto of Bill number 2491, Draft 2, relating to pesticides and genetically modified organisms. Pursuant to the Kauai County Charter, the council must enter the objections of the mayor in the journal of the council and lay the veto on the table. The council may, after 5 and within 30 days after the bill has been so returned, reconsider the vote upon the bill. This special council meeting is only for the purpose of laying the veto on the table. The council will not be voting to override or sustain the mayor's veto at this time. Here's some highlights from the agenda for the regular meeting. Environmental Services Management Engineer transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to the Kauai County Code relating to integrated waste management. See proposed draft bill number 2509. The mayor transmits for council consideration the cost items for Hawaii Government Employees Bargaining Unit 13. See proposed draft bill number 2510. The Director of Finance transmits for council consideration proposed amendments related to revising several items in the fiscal year 2013-2014 operating budget. The County Attorney requests council approval to spend additional funds up to $40,000 for special counsel's continued services in the County of Kauai versus Michael Sheehan. This is related to condemnation procedures. Council Chair Fafaro requests the county engineer participate in a discussion with state officials on the status of the state reservoirs that were closed in recent years pursuant to the Dam Safety Act of 1987. Council Vice Chair Nakamura requests council consideration to release the county attorney opinion dated September 3, 2013, related to whether the county has the legal authority to establish a CAT license fee. The deputy county clerk transmitted two claims against the county. There is a resolution on the agenda to implement an environmental and public health impact study via the formation of a pesticide and genetic engineering joint fact-finding group. Bills for the first reading include a bill related to integrated solid waste management, a bill related to a collective bargaining agreement, and a bill related to the operating budget for the county.
There is an executive session not open to the public. Subjects include a briefing on the Sheehan case and a request from the county attorney to consider the evaluation, dismissal, or discipline of the county auditor or of charges brought against the county auditor. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearings on three bills related to county budget and bond funds. After the public hearings, the council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Fern, did you get a good call?
Well, we just got a little bit of clarification about Thursday. So Thursday is when the County Council will put back on the table the fact that there has been a veto for Bill 2491, and that'll be addressed at that time. But there is some confusion, and one of our council members just gave me a call to clarify that there will not be mayoral presence on Thursday, so that means the mayors won't be there to hear people's comments and concerns. It might still be better to go directly through the mayor to address those comments in the office of the mayor rather than on Thursday, but public testimony will be taken on Thursday in relation to your thoughts on the council basically scheduling and going through with an override. So there will be opportunities for public testimony, but not directed toward the mayor, really, because the mayor won't be present at that event.
Which is pretty standard for a county council meeting. It's rare that the mayor is there, so it wouldn't be a normal expectation, but maybe it might seem that way.
Yeah.
So other things that can happen. So we've talked about a recall. We're talking about
override.
We're talking about other candidates coming
next election,
up
yep.
next election, and then there was also ballot initiative,
right? We got ballot initiative ideas, and we've also got what are the next steps? What are the next bills? What are the ways that we can set up some lawsuits? There's a lot of things to move forward with, really.
A lot of people have some really good ideas, and if you do have ideas, come forward. Speak to us. Email them. This is a people's bill. This is us making the movement here. So come forward. Tell us your ideas. Let's work with them. A ballot initiative is when you put the a new bill on the ballot, and we all vote for it, and that's a great way to pass some laws as well.
I believe Kauai has never successfully passed a ballot initiative before, maybe one time a long time ago. But and then I think what was recently done, there was some sort of zoning that was overturned because you can't zone by ballot initiative. It's a very interesting, the whole technicalities of what you can and can't do and what you put on the bill. It might be that we have a stricter bill that's drafted and put on for voting by the people.
Yeah, 2491, it got gutted. But it's still strong. It's still alive. And I like this veto override with the council.
That's definitely the focus at the moment.
I'm putting a lot of my my eggs in a basket on that one. I really hope that we get the 5-1 vote, if not 6.
Yep. Okay, we got another caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a great idea about we should have an island-wide roundup. So everybody that has an unwanted bottle of Roundup in their house, there's somewhere to go and drop it off and get rid of this stuff.
Great idea.
And we should also try and push for a movement that we can just ban the sale of that stuff. Go to the people at Walmart, Ace Hardware, Home Depot, and everywhere that distributes that stuff. Get that stuff off of our island. There's other ways of doing it, and it's just like there's a small battle going on between neighbors, too. You have this big corporation spraying these neighborhoods, but you also have neighbor-to-neighbor battles. Where
mm-hmm. And county parks.
And they're spraying Roundup right next to my fence line, and then my dog goes and rubs on the weeds or something, and then he comes in our house, and our kids are petting him. And it's just not fair that, you have no idea that somebody in a subby dong just came and rounded up a bunch of buffalo grass that's, 10 feet off of your property line.
Yeah,
not only that, your neighbors are over there spraying it and spraying it on your family while you're sitting there smelling this stuff. And if I would have known then what I know now, I'm ready to fight because you're killing me. And so where do we go with that? That's another issue that should be kind of looked at a little bit is just the personal use of that stuff. It's not needed, and there's nowhere to go with it, so we should try and push for, like, a Roundup. Get the Roundup. Round it off out of here.
And maybe we should talk to Home Depot or different suppliers of it. I know that that's looked at as just almost a gentle pesticide. It certainly isn't what is even, you know, under observation in this. It's not a restricted use pesticide. And glyphosate, what we've learned, has really done incredible amount of damage.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, we shouldn't even sell that stuff over here, because a lot of the people that are buying it, they have no idea what it does. They have no idea that what they're doing with it, and it's just contaminating everything around them and everybody around them.
It's
not fair that you have unqualified people that can obtain substances like that can do so much damage to innocent people.
I want to give a shout-out to my next-door neighbor who used to round up about 18 inches into my yard. And he stopped rounding up that whole side of his yard. And he does, I love him dearly, have pretty intense cancer that hopefully he's kind of beat. But, I mean, you know, you see how we don't know whether it's our daily habits that bring this into our lives or not, you know.
Well, I'd like to shout at my neighbors for stopping, you know, stop poisoning the riverbank. Because I was just sitting there watching everybody poison, like, 10 feet right next to a stream, and it's just like, dude, are you kidding me? You know, it's right here off the river, and you might as well just pour the stuff into the river and save a step.
Try talking to them first before you shout at them.
Well, I have many times, and, you know, it doesn't really sink in. They just think that it's something that doesn't really hurt you, and it's something that their parents did, and, you know, it's just been a cultural thing, I guess, over here, to fill up your backpack with poison and take off with it. But
a strategy that I have with the county, because they're right behind my house, there's a park right behind my house, is I try and keep my whole fence line just whacked deeply. So as I do that, then they are less likely to spray the poison in my yard. And I go out and I nicely remind the county people who work in the park, and it helps. I mean, there is ways of helping.
Well, after repeated exposure to your children, you watching them get sick and yourself getting sick, it's really hard to start responding nicely. You know, how much evidence do you need? The stuff is deadly.
I'm in the same boat with you there, caller. It's really about the kids. It's about what's harmful to them, and I think this is something that Felicia told me. Something about where you swing your arm and you're as close to your neighbor's nose. I mean, that's your zone right there. As soon as it goes out and you hit their nose, you know, you get in their zone. That shouldn't be allowed. It's like the smoking law. You can't smoke in public places, you know, inside, because it's going to affect people. Once we start affecting the kids, we start affecting our neighbor's kids, we really got a serious problem there. And that's not fair to the children. We have an obligation.
I'd like to see a ban on that kind of stuff over in Hawaii, because we should really push towards an organic state of mind, and that's the future. Health is the future, and pesticides and poison and stuff are just anti-health.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just push for we should get rid of that stuff and ban it from the cells and not even have it in the stores and not even have option for people to buy chemicals like that to spread on their properties and spread on everybody else. But that's my team. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. And I have another caller holding. Thank you. You've been patient. You're on the air.
Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for everything that you do, and bless your hearts. I want to read something that I think is really important, because this issue about the bill and the veto is very important, and it's affected a lot of people. There's an opinion in the Garden Island today, the letters to the editor, and it's posted by Prentice, and it was posted this morning at 1:37 a.m., and this is what they wrote. I know this will make lots of the anti-tourist crowd happy. We've been vacationing on Kauai at least once a year since 1988 and have grown to love the island. Even bought a condo. We've especially enjoyed the more laid-back, relaxed west side, the wonderful trails in Waimea Canyon, like many locals. We witnessed the changes on the west side in, Poipu, in parenthesis. Over the years, and have been concerned in recent years, we've come back from Polahalli to Poipu at times, with the smell of the chemicals in the air around Syngenta land, lingering in our noses. We made our Kauai trip plans for this year while 2491 was still under debate. We'd hoped Mayor Carvalho would do the right thing and sign the bill, but for whatever reason, he chose to give Big Ag free reign over your land, your water, your air.
Yep.
We're still coming to Kauai. We've already paid for everything, but have talked about it, and this will be our last trip. We'll also put our condo on the market when we leave. Others we have talked to feel the same way. This won't change anything on Kauai. You still have plenty of tourists, and no one will miss us. We will miss Kauai, though, and we'll leave with much sadness and fond memories of what you all once had. But we figure, hey, if we want to go visit a giant environmental experiment, we'll go to the biosphere in Arizona. At least it's not poisoned. Aloha, Kauai, and mahalo, nui loa. That's a comment that I read in the Garden Island today from the letters to the editor posted by Prentice. And I have come to realize more people are affected than we really know.
Thank you so much for reading that.
That
was amazing. And in response to the letter and that whoever wrote that letter, yeah, we will miss you. Those are the kind of visitors we want here, the people that genuinely care about Kauai. Not the ones that are going to come and leave trash. It's the ones that come here and appreciate what Kauai really is and what Kauai and the spirit of aloha is really about.
Right, and they could smell it in the air on their trip. And, Felicia, I'm going to match your $100.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that deeply. And do you want a copy of the book?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you're going to be one of my people with a copy of the book.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and we love you.
We love you, too. Aloha.
Aloha. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. Kauai Soapbox Live is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Anahola Stringed Instruments, Aya's Garden, and Al Pastor. We really, really appreciate and need our underwriters. They make a difference every day.
That was a very strong call.
Mm-hmm. Anahola Stringed Instruments, still making guitars, ukulele, and violins one at a time from Kauai's ancient koa. Every tree has its own song. Time-honored designs and precision-built custom orders. Beginning and master instrument building classes. Prompt and complete setup, repair, restoration, and reforestation. Anahola Stringed Instruments proudly supports KKCR. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Oops. Did I lose him? Shoots. Okay, call back, caller. I just missed you. Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We have this fund drive going, and I really appreciate our different supporters. We have our wave riders, other people who are really making a very big difference. We're going to hear from some of them.
Hawaiki, presenting an array of quality, contemporary, cultural works of art by local artists from across the Pacific.
Historic Hanapepe Town, every Friday is art night from 6 to 9 p.m. Live music, food, and more. Hanapepe.org.
Haleakala Solar has been helping to protect Hawaii's environment since 1977. Haleakalasolar.com.
Hunter-gatherer gallery and gift shop. Homeware, art, gifts, and objects of curiosity, located in the Stone Building in Kilauea Town.
Support local beekeeping. A gallon of raw Kauai honey shipped to the mainland. KauaiHoney.com.
Got Game Rental. Carnival games, bounce houses, tents for fundraisers, birthday parties, and special events. GotGameRental.com. 634-5754.
Dr. Basco's new edition of Fresh Food and Ancient Wisdom, preparing healthy and balanced meals for your dog, now available. Wholesome, easy recipes for all breeds and needs. 822-4229 or drbasco.com.
Kauai Auto Detailing. Kauai made super polymer non-petroleum based carnauba wax. Saltwater and corrosion protection. Kauai Auto Detailing 639-2353.
Golden Lotus Studio and Massage School Kauai. Student Massage Clinic January through June. Massage Licensing Program. Yoga and Dance Classes. GoldenLotusKauai.org.
Hawaii Compassionate Care offering medical marijuana certification exams on Kauai November 29th through December 8th. More information at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com.
Da Cha Teas, fresh organic loose leaf teas. Available at local health food stores and online at DaChaTeas.com.
Johnny Wickman and everyone at Poi Boy Records says, call now. Support KKCR. It'll make you feel good. So, mahalo again for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I have Dr. Ihor Basco right here who, I love your show, Pets in Paradise. I listen to it and I think about it for my own pets, but also it's filled with information about really what's good for human beings, too.
Yeah,
Hold on. I'm not pulling you up. Okay, try again. No? Can you use her mic for a moment?
Aloha. Yeah, I have a show, and I appreciate this show because it's one of the same. We're on the same track. We're trying to give information, get people connected, try to get them to live a better life, and that's kind of like what I want to do too with my show.
Yeah, and I think what I want to pick your brain about a little bit, we have so many interesting programmers in here, and so you're a whole lot more than a veterinarian. You started life in a pretty interesting place. Ihor Basco, what kind of name is that?
It's Ukrainian.
And so you were born, you don't look that, I'm not saying it's old, but you look younger than that, but you were born during World War II, is that right?
I was born just after World War II. Yeah.
And then what country were you born in?
In Germany. My parents met in a concentration camp.
And were you born in the concentration camp?
Yeah, I was born in after the war in one of the same ones they were in for a while.
Whoa.
It's kind of heavy.
Well, that's what I've been trying to live down all my life is the programming of heavy. And heavy is natural to me. It's in my DNA, I think.
Well, sometimes when I look at the whole overall picture, I feel like we're living in the USSA instead of the USA because it seems a little bit Eastern Bloc with all the spying and even something that we've seen recently. When you look at the headlines, it'll say mayor threatened, you know, and the inference in the headline is that it is the anti-GMO movement that is threatening the mayor. And even on another radio station, I heard them read the front page of the paper. They didn't read the last page. At the end of that last page, it said, you know, it's not the pro-GMO movement because they've been looking into it. And we're actually, those of us who are, excuse me, not the anti-GMO movement, we're actually getting trolls on our walls on Facebook and social networking where they're going in and making threats and saying that we are creating violence, and it seems straight out of George Orwell for people, probably two of you in the room who are too young to know who George Orwell was. It is, it's like, it's so surreal that we have probably paid people to come in and put pollution on our walls and then end up having headlines in the newspaper like we are being...
Well, it's kind of a distraction from the truth, which is it's been my issue with the pesticides on this island since we moved here like almost 30 years ago. So I know that I have patients that live around golf courses that are sick with allergies. Cancer is really big and weird skin problems that are difficult to cure until people move back to the mainland or someplace out and away from parks that are sprayed, golf courses that are sprayed, where they spray along the roadside in front of people's houses. Animals get sick, and I see that. And, you know, nobody thinks much about it, and they always ask, well, I do the best for my pets, feed them the best of this and that. How come they got cancer, and how come they have these weird diseases? Well, look at your environment. Where do you live? Well, Princeville is one of the places by the golf course. A lot of sick animals, and people wonder why.
And are the parents sick, too?
Well, we've had these people with, you know, first, you know, you kind of, I'm not a human doctor, and I don't know if these people have psychological problems or they really have sensitivities to sprays. And one of them, one of the people that now lives in Oregon, asked the golf course how many different chemicals. I think she used a lawyer to get the answers. There was 11 different chemicals on one golf course here. And so, yeah, she wants to know what they're spraying, and what they're spraying is not good for her. And so she had to move.
So, still pulling you back to the old life, how old were you when you moved to America?
Probably about 1.5.
Okay, so you don't have that imprint. You didn't experience living in the Eastern Bloc.
Well, I heard a lot about it. You know, Stalin and people starving to death, millions of people starving to death. My mom survived that, and my dad. I mean, that all is in your DNA, just like this genetically modified food. It, you know, people don't think much about it, but it's passed on into your genetic makeup from one generation to another, as is conflicts and stress and war and that kind of stuff imprints in young children, and that is part of the where I came from. So I've been trying to be positive and working on how can we make this island a better and healthier place.
But you feel safe here. I mean, from I'm talking about a little bit of oppressive government behavior, because it to me, I see the overreach of this industry is, you know, part of overreach of many other industries.
Well, it's very similar tactics that Stalin used that they're using now, which is fear. Fear motivates people in different ways, and fear can easily manipulate people if you know what their weaknesses are. Like, they're afraid of losing their job, or we're afraid of losing our health, you know. So fear can be a positive motivation for many people to act, and others to just roll up in a ball and, you know, take the blue pill or the red pill. Well, I think I'll take the blue pill and forget about it. You know?
Seems like this is just a textbook play,
yeah.
You know, from the playbook of how to gain political power. This is just history repeating itself. Yeah. It's happened before. This is divide and conquer. I personally don't believe it's the anti-GMO movement at all making these calls. I believe it's someone else doing the, you know, making the people scared. And, yeah, you know, there's been a lot of respect. There's been a lot of disrespect. And we always try to promote respect, for sure. And I don't believe it's anyone on the our side that's promoting threats to the mayor.
Well, the police statement was consistent with that and said so in the paper, that it wasn't our side.
It's a scary place as we watch the world turn and our country turn towards, like my parents used to tell stories about the USSR, you know, and you can't just say things. And you definitely, as some of the rock stars have found up now recently, if you say something against the government, you're going to land in jail even now. So it's coming to that, and the drone thing really bothers me, you know, drones. Did you see that drone during the demonstration that we had?
Yes, but that was Joel Guy's drone, and he was filming the demonstration.
Great.
So that was his drone.
But that is kind of like the thing to come, you know. The Blade Runner, you see that movie with the drones everywhere looking at you and looking for you. Well, it's technology, and hopefully we don't have to go that way, but the more control people have, the more they're worried about losing the control, and so they have to use...
I've seen those little mosquito drones on YouTube, and they scare the heck out of me.
Yeah, and you see, like, now, like, at the gas stations that have the screens that promote an ad, that they have pictures with, you know, facial recognition software on them, so they know whether to try and sell something to a almost 50-year-old woman or a 17-year-old man that, you know, we're being looked at everywhere. And I have also loaded up on my computer the Hawaii Free Press, which sounds like it's, you know, the radicals, but it tends to be the radical business end of it. And you guys are all in this video here of the mayor trying to talk to the community after the veto. I see all three of you in that. And the headline says, "Dangerous situation as Kauai mayor attempts to address anti-GMO crowd after veto." Well, he had a hard time talking, but that looked like the extent of the danger. You know, so it's just how they choose to frame it. They could have said heartbreaking situation, because it seemed like there was a lot of angst, a lot of tears, a lot of disappointed and devastated people. I didn't hear any threats. I heard crushed people.
I think heartbreaking would be a better description of it, for sure. You know, heartbreaking, you know, as one of the West Side moms is basically crying to him on his shoulder, saying, "What about my baby and the seizures he's having?" And he's like, "Well, I'm sorry about that." And that's it. So, yeah, heartbreaking is much better.
Yeah, heartbreaking. But when we can do theft, we can do manipulation with words and lack thereof. It looks like we have a caller. And maybe other callers will want to call Dr. Basco at 826-7774 and make a donation.
Yeah, please do give us your pledge. Be part of the community here, part of the Song of Hawaii, which is based in KKCR, and a place where you can give us your mana'o, your opinions, your grace, your, you know, whatever that you're thinking. You can be here in communion with us, and whether you agree with us or not, you have a platform here. And so for that platform, and the only place I know around, give us a call at 826-7771. And you folks...
Or 826-7774, because my callers to go on the air are calling 826-7771.
And you people out on the outer islands and neighbor islands, a lot of these issues concern you. And maybe you could be part of our family living away, and maybe you can get something going on your island. So that call, that free, toll-free call is 866-275-1112.
Thank you. Yes, and aloha to our sister islands, because the neighbor islands, all of us do tend to sit there and listen to this. And speaking of which, Hawaii Island is, again, working on their very important Bill 1113, which is absolutely putting a stop to bringing in GMOs, more GMOs to their island.
How great would that be if that went through, huh? It will go through. It's going through.
It will go through. And I think that it will go through to a greater extent here. I think that overriding the veto is the first step, but then it's just one of the small steps. I think the ultimate step is a humanistic approach of trying to protect those who can't protect themselves, mm-hmm. which will take the bill further. You, Fern and Saul were referring to initially when they were trying to develop the bill. I think we live in a country where people don't like to lose their rights, so it's going to be hard to take a bottle of Roundup away from an individual. But on the same way, on the same thought process, if you want to use it, you don't have the right to spray it on me. So use it without drift, without going into the water, without contaminating the resources for someone else that may not be you.
Right, and that's really the new areas of law that we're going through, in these uncharted areas of law that people question. But I think they need to be worked out. Like these points need to be figured out. Where is your right to your property and your property's health and your soil's health and your air's health and your? I mean, it just seems to me that it's clear, and surely there we can argue this in court. Let the courts determine these things, and let's bring them forward, because to me it seems like there's no other answer other than the people's right to a healthy environment, and your right as an individual, a property owner, for nonetheless to have that, you know, clean land that's not impacted by your neighbor.
Think about the caller who wanted the Roundup. He was upset as he gained more knowledge about what Roundup did. And I'm smiling as you're talking, Fern, because you're talking about the right. And I think it's bizarre that we have to fight for the right when it should be so simplistic.
Exactly.
It should be childlike to say, I just want to know and need to know what you're spraying in my face, in my lungs, on my child, in my water.
Well, I think in contrast to that, too, in a couple of shows, I'm going to do something on the fishermen again and, like, what's going on with the NOAA expansion. And the Fern's acting up over that. You were in Sea Shepherds, too, right? I just learned that recently. She sends all kinds of different cool things. Oh, she's saying, don't say that. But... I want to do a show with the fishermen because I hear from them, and you know what? They are so regulated. If they don't say exactly what they catch within a week, if they have so many things that they have to jump to, hop to, you know, you can't even, like, poop on your own land, really, without the right permits and everything else. So,
I want to be here for that show.
Okay. Maybe, you know, there's really heavy restrictions, say, on a fisherman. Why?
A restaurant,
you know, you can't even, it's not even legal.
Car
to be,
rentals.
You can't be poor anymore. You can't, you're not allowed to be poor. You can't not afford health insurance. You can't not afford a home. Like, you're not allowed to sleep in your car. You're not allowed to sleep in different places. I mean, It's very, very difficult. We really create a lot of hardship for people just to even get by, you know? And it's amazing that we let a kind of a radical industry go without any kind of consequence or... They say they get oversight, but it's pretty
real
minimal.
Real accountability. Doesn't exist.
Okay, did you have something to say about
it? Not only does real accountability not exist, it's built in that they have no oversight. It's
right. Purposeful. It's built around their corporate needs and desires.
What a beautiful business plan to create seeds and experimentation that don't go to market for food. Then you avoid FDA regulatory process. You have a State Department of Agriculture that says that they're understaffed. They do a poor job. Mm-hmm. And then you have a government that has attorneys saying, well, geez, we ought to send it someplace else, and there's no justification. They've got the support built in, and everyone throws around cliches, and one of the cliches I heard during the council meeting was, I had the right to swing my arms, but my right stops when it hits your nose.
That's what Joanne.
Well, let me ask you a question. What if the swing is a gas, and it goes onto my property?
She's saying, I think that's what she's trying to say. Like, if it impacts somebody else, then that's where it stops. It was just her analogy of saying, like, you know, you have rights to do certain things, but as soon as it impacts somebody else's health or life, then, you know, that's where that stops. And I think that's the whole point of what we were talking about drift and runoff and the initial concept of keeping whatever you do contained within your property and not impacting your neighbor seems pretty straightforward and easily defendable.
That's a no-brainer. Come on, what you do at your house, it shouldn't affect your neighbors whatsoever. It shouldn't affect anywhere past that.
And you guys are reminding me, I'm jumping topics a little bit. I have a tendency to do that with the economic bill that is out now that Chris Dodd has put forward. And when you look at who has made that bill, that it's pretty much all penned by the industry. Like 80% of that big, huge, fat bill was paid by the industry, the very individuals who caused the 2008 meltdown. And so they took out the pieces about regulating derivatives. Everything that has been kind of cleaned up, now they have undone it again. And so it's just hard to have faith to me in anything that says state or federal. That's a federal piece of legislation, but it's
Well, the federal government are the ones that granted federal permits for these corporations to experiment here. They're federal experimentation permits. Like, how can we trust the federal government? These are the documents that we can't get, the 15 pages of black that were sent through. Is a federal permit for Kauai to be used as an experimental site. So, of course, the federal government is in support of the biotech experimentation. That's why we're trying to address this on a county level, because we're hoping that our county can protect us from our federal government, who has allowed us to be an experimental research station.
So if you have the money and you have the resources and the attorneys and the and this can affect billions of dollars of profit, why wouldn't you take an individual and scare him to say, you can't handle this here, it's illegal, you're going to get into trouble, you're going to get sued, send it upstairs to the federal government, and it's almost the anti Bill of Rights. It says, take it and give it to three people off somewhere else, and take away the rights of the individuals. That's why it's so critical that Kauai, as a group of people, are getting done what we're getting done. And don't underestimate what's happening. We have made a significant impact against four major corporations, and we just can't let it stop.
No, we're just getting started.
And I'm looking right here at these letters in front of me from the lawyers, Paul Ashtaw from the Center for Food, or he's from Earth Justice, and then George Kimbrell from the Center for Food Safety, and I have another one right here from the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law, Peter Shea, who's been on the program. You know, these people have reasserted their willingness to pro bono represent our county because it is that important to the country and even the world that David is able to stand in front of Goliath. And so when they say that there is no money available to be fighting this, I struggle with that. When we have, you know, to be able to get these people to represent us.
What a great opportunity to have them come down here and represent us and defend the bill. And they've looked over it, and their lawyers have looked over it, and they say it's legally sound. And these people, in my opinion, are trustworthy just on the basis of, you know, I've met a few of them personally. I like who they are and what they stand for. They're there, you know, pro bono, volunteer work, nonprofit, and they're there to protect the community, to protect the people, to protect the environment. These people are filled with love, and they really, really care. And I love that they're offering their services. And I think it's 4 out of the 9 offered pro bono, which is still great, and really respectable lawyers.
Yeah, so that is very encouraging that we have that. And I would really like to see that it is those attorneys defending the county rather than those attorneys defending the people against the counties, because we've seen that offer too.
Look at the situation. The people of Kauai seem to be overwhelmingly in favor of moving forward. In fact, they probably were more in favor of the original bill, not the amended bill.
Yeah.
And right. Then who takes that away from the people, and where did they put it? A governmental attorney, a governmental official, the mayor, says, let's take it to the higher level of government that we're all saying it's not good. It's not good for society when we abdicate the rights of the individuals and the collective rights of the individuals and give it to the governmental entities, because they're involved in so many greedy maneuvers with secondary gain that aren't for the benefit of the people. They're for the benefit of the corporate profits.
And somehow they must be very leveraged. You know, I think at a local level here, I have to believe that we have really good people. I mean, these jobs aren't easy jobs. You know, it's a tough job. Like, who do we have move in for the mayor? It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think when people say he sold out, I just can't really see his temperament be something that's taking a backdoor payment. Somewhere there was leverage.
Fear.
Fear.
It's fear.
Yeah, because he's a good guy, and they can use his desire to, you know, be a good mayor and do what's best for all of Kauai against him. And that's exactly right. It's fear. And that's not necessarily a personal trait that came from him, like, and a decision that he made to, like, you know, stab people in the back, as they say. I think it genuinely comes from the manipulation of the industry, manipulating a good person on the traits that they know they can best manipulate.
And it's easy because you've got a topic here that's so enormous that there's no way that the mayor in 10 days can understand the science, the legality, the previous case law, the consequences, the impact on the soil, the water. It is so large that it's inevitable that he becomes dependent on educating himself.
Right. Well, but he should have been educating himself.
No, but exactly. He should have been educated already. I mean, that's what in the testimony that I gave, I was disappointed because he said he wasn't educated, and he just started learning about it when months before I had given him information from my hand to his hand and said, read this. Call me if you have any questions. The information is there. So I do feel betrayed. You know,
and
it's,
you were never called, were you?
I was never called.
I was never called. Very few
nothing.
Of my emails were ever returned. Sometimes, when I was sending information a little bit, and I have to give credit to Beth Tokioka for acknowledging some of these emails, but in this position that I have, where I have people coming to me so much, like I'm on the air for 2 hours, but it's almost like my life gets filled with having people call me and say, oh, I'm not going to say this on the air, but, you know, or sending me all this information in the background. I feel this responsibility to be researching it. But I, you know, I've got a very full life. I'm not paid to do this, and I'm running myself ragged being at all these places. And so when I can educate myself, and it's not my job to protect the people, but I am living my life like as if it is my job to protect the people, and I'm staring at four others in this room who live their lives like it is their job to protect the people and animals. that's what we need from our leader.
I think that's where the... Go ahead, Larry.
No, go.
I think that's where, you know, when people say, I feel stabbed in the back, that a lot of it's coming from that, because a lot of these people... And I think all of us in the room were in a thunderstorm, pouring rain, sleeping overnight at the county building.
Right.
You know, my home life is hurting because of this. I'm not going to lie. There's been a lot of toll taken on my life. My work schedule, a lot is really put a lot on the line for this, because I know what the importance here is, you know, making sure the island's safe and the kids are safe. And so I do feel stabbed in the back. I don't really know how to process it right now. I'm still going through it. What to think, what this is all really about, but I definitely take it personally. And I know a lot of other people do that, have really sacrificed their time, their health, you know, money.
I definitely take it personally because of that exact same reason. I mean, I've gone, you know, about 4 months ago, I had to go down to like one night a week or two nights a week at work, if that, and I have gone through all my savings over the last 4 months. I've got, you know, gone through a huge amount of stress and time taken out of my life, but I do take it personal because I was never addressed about those comments. Like, I've worked so hard and so tirelessly for a year now. It's a year, since almost just shy of a year since we first met for that first meeting. And, you know, in that time, I've done a lot, and I've never been reached out by the mayor for answers to some of his concerns. I mean, I could have addressed the concerns with the Farm Act. We could have talked about those kind of things and understood. We researched this in the beginning. This is what we found. You know, I feel like I could have helped. And so that's what's personally disappointing for me.
And for me also, when I've seen this dream team of scientists, many of whom have come through the room here, and I review them on the internet and look, and they're very legitimate and have worked on, you know, world-size problems. These aren't, you know, my neighbor who studied geography or geology or something and who has self-educated. These are very renowned scientists, many of whom don't get a single call back. And I know that they have emailed in and they don't get the emails back. And so, to me, that becomes a point of irresponsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there is a responsibility to listen to both sides of this. And you know, if you go to a conference that's paid by the industry, we see two different pieces of science, and one is looking at the acute effects as measured on healthy soldiers, you know, 20 years ago, and others that might be called anecdotal, but one of the reasons they are anecdotal is because no funding goes to pay for those studies. Have to say, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. We are also K284AL, the station that loves Oahu.
And the station that needs you and your contributions to keep it going.
So please call Dr. Basco at 826-7774. And I have this little piece of paper right here. Generation after generation goes through hardship. So, Larry, I see that you said your mom also escaped Nazi Germany when she was 13 years old.
Yeah, and they left in the middle of the night with nothing except they were alive. And all of my relatives on my mother's side were tattooed, but not the good tattoos.
Right, I've seen those.
And that DNA, when Dr. Basco was speaking about
it, for young people, the tattoos means they were in the concentration camps.
Yeah, it was an identification tattoo. And that DNA does transmit. And my mom wouldn't talk much about the experience, but one of the things she said is never become dependent on a major corporation or the government to take care of yourself. You must put yourself in a position to take care of yourself as an individual. And I think that history repeats itself. One of the things that I've seen in this battle specifically is those who educate themselves no longer stay objective. If you take the effort to educate yourself about what's going on with genetically engineered food and pesticides, which are not, they're not, you can't separate them. They are part of the same process. You no longer stay objective about your beliefs on this. And everyone felt betrayed about what the mayor did, but it's a collective team that did that. It's not only the mayor. The mayor probably has his brain trust that he bounces questions off, mm-hmm. decides who he speaks to. I never saw the mayor, nor did I see any of the legislators at the talks for the scientists. They willfully chose not to go. And I think that as we're talking about change in government, the change has to be all encompassing. It's not just the mayor. Who are the mayor's advisors that are giving him terrible advice?
They're all being underinformed. And I'm acknowledging that we are coming up on Veterans Day, and they say those are the people who fight for your freedom. I say a lot of the activists are people who fight for your freedom, too. You know, I almost feel like we've gone through... I don't want to make it a comparison to a war, because people who are really being shot at, there's, I'm sure, no comparison to what's going on there. But there, we can be veterans of fighting for justice. It's a justice issue. It's an element of freedom. But I do want to acknowledge our veterans and acknowledge, too, like when I'm thinking on the economic level, when they're stopping the SNAP payment, they're funding, you know, billions of dollars into the war machine and paying for, you know, F-2 fighters and things like that that have never even really seen action. I think those are like F-22s, but yet they are cutting back the food stamps to veterans and other people. We're not feeding the hungry while we are paying for the war machine. And I see all of this as a collective piece that comes together. They're just different pieces, different tentacles on the same challenge. And I don't think that we can't succeed, but it takes relentless effort.
Yeah, there's a lot of different avenues you can take to fight this. You can call it a war. You can call it a movement, whatever you want. Being an activist, you know, the best thing to do right now is plant a garden. You know, go ahead in your backyard and go get some seeds and just start growing your own food. And that's really a big part of the change right there. And teach your neighbors about it, teach your children about it, and bring awareness. Awareness is our biggest ally in all of this.
Yes, and call into KKCR. Make a donation at 826-7774. I want to acknowledge some more of our wave riders. Those are folks who put an extra amount of money and energy to help support us. So this program is helped, and KKCR is helped by these wave riders.
Dolphin Restaurant, Fish Market, and Sushi Lounge in Hanalei and Poipu. Local fresh daily sushi steaks and seafood. Specialty cocktails. TheDolphinKauai.com.
Lehua Design says mahalo nui to KKCR for all the music, information, and magic. Give generously, even magic costs money. 821-1043.
Heaven on Earth starts here. Sowing the seeds of the evolution every single week.
St. Michael's All Angels Episcopal Church Lihue celebrates King Kamehameha IV and Queen Emma November 15th, 16th, and 17th. The 15th, Hawaii Music Concert, 7 p.m. On the 16th, a holiday craft fair, 9 to 2. And on the 17th, a special service from 9:45 a.m. 245-3796.
Julio's Beach Burritos, fine Mexican cuisine in a trailer. Open for breakfast and lunch, Tuesday through Sunday. 634-3218.
Kauai Camper, meeting the island's camping needs with Aloha Mahalo, KKCR, for your great programming. KauaiCamperRental.com.
Sohn and Jay of Universal Garden Care proudly support KKCR. Professional landscape maintenance and property management. Your property in reliable, responsible hands. 652-1877.
Kauai Farm Connection, Farm Direct, local organic produce serving Kauai since 2007. Who's your farmer? www.kauaifarmconnection.com, 652-5110.
Soul Systems, renewable energy made simple, servicing Kauai since 2000. Solar, wind, and hydro energy solutions, www.soulsystems.org, 808-651-7732.
Ohana Organic Farm, non-GMO fruits and veggies for our community, Kilauea Golf Market on Saturday.
Hale o Kanaka Maoli, Huli Huli Chicken at Anahola Marketplace, Mauka of the Highway, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 11 a.m. to Pau. You can taste the aloha.
Natural Bridges School Holiday Family Fundraiser, Monday, November 11th, 11 a.m. at the Kauai Mini Golf in Kilauea. Live music, games, silent auction, prizes. School's out, fun for the whole family. That's Natural Bridges School Holiday Family Fundraiser, November 11th.
The Kekahu Foundation is looking for qualified candidates to join the Board of Directors, which focuses on direction and policies for KKCR. All applicants must be Kauai residents and KKCR members for 1 year. As former KKCR manager, I must say that the years I spent with KKCR were some of the best. And if you feel as passionately about KKCR as I still do, I hope you'll get involved by coming on the Board of Directors. Download the application directly from kkcr.org. Or if you know someone that you feel would be an effective voice on the board, talk to them about it, give them the information, and help them get involved. Thank you.
That I'm a fool for you because you're mine. I walk the line.
Right on, Johnny Cash. I want to thank Josephine and Maria for helping to support us. So Kauai Soapbox Live and our wonderful listeners have helped us, KKCR, be ahead by 1,480. I want to see if I can't get that up to $1,700. That's like $220 in the next 20 minutes. Maybe we can even go over that. I really appreciate you all. Mimsy, Paul, Mark, Ray, Bhavani, Nico, Clayton, Wendell, Lori, Larry. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting it. Fern, speaking of marches and activism, you have yet another piece of information from an Akamai listener about what just happened at...
Apparently, about 3 minutes ago, the same-sex marriage bill was passed out of House committee and now moves before the floor for a full vote. So that means that we've got one last... I guess it's one last vote before that bill would or would not become law. So the vote was 18-12 in support for the committee of Judiciary and Finance. So it's passed Senate Bill 1 and is calling for legislation of same-sex marriage. That moves now before the full House for a vote.
Is that it? That's right. Okay.
And then I guess the governor could veto that.
Yeah. hey, that happened last time.
Yeah, it did.
It did. And yes. By somebody who is kind of maybe close to that community herself. Okay, so you're on the air. Hello? Are you there?
Felicia and Fern, and I didn't get the other gentleman's name.
Larry and Saul.
Saul.
And Igor.
If they could write this down, I'll try to say it slow. You have on Sunday New Dimensions. And this past Sunday, there was a man on, Sam Daly Harris. And his talk was on effective grassroots activism. He gave some pretty profound ways of how people can deal with the situation that we're facing right now. One statement was, government doesn't change from the top down, it changes from the bottom up. And some really profound things, but you can listen to it online, even though it was on Sunday. We have a time frame that's different in the mainland. So if you could write down November the 13th through the 19th, you can go online. It's free.
Sam Bailey Harris, and that was on New Dimensions?
Correct.
And Bailey, B-A-I-L-E?
D-A-L-E-Y.
Oh, Daly.
Daly dash Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, and it's newdimensions.org. And it's called Effective Grassroots Activism.
Okay.
And he even trains people so they know how to talk and how they know how to deliver their information and their cause so that it's effective. So he's a professional.
Well, thank
and
you.
I think it would help us all. But
thank you
for what you're doing. And I agree we need to continue. I think that this is only the beginning. So let's not give up, any of us. I know you've all donated time and effort and energy. That's why I'm giving you this information, because it will help, I think, to not burn you all out, but give you encouragement.
So how come it's only like November 13th through 19th? Like, I couldn't listen to that today?
It's because of the way they have it set up.
Okay.
I've never been able to figure it out.
Okay.
But it was on Sunday's program, and it won't be on until the 13th.
Okay, so thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And I did write it down for listeners who need to know that. Aloha.
Yeah, I mean, they can attempt to try to listen to it, but quite frankly, I'm looking at their homepage, and it says it won't be on until the 13th and 19th.
Okay.
Even though it was pre-recorded, and we heard it here in the islands.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha.
I want to recognize Jeffrey also, who just donated. Please call in at 826-7774 to help support Kauai Community Radio, Kauai Soapbox Live, and all the voices of the people. We have another caller that's holding. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, I got cut off.
Oops. Are you there? Hello? Are you there?
Oh, good. I'm back. Hi! Thank you for this beautiful program. I donated not to Ihor's program, but to your program, because we soar behind you, Felicia. And I wanted to ask a question. I don't know if you talked about it earlier. I was working. How does the replacement of the council member come about, and is there anything that we can do to influence that? Because I heard that you're one of the people, Felicia.
Well, thank you. What you probably could do is write a letter in and say that I would probably make it to rwatanabe@kauai.gov, and you could copy different council members on it and say whom you would like to have. There's a number of really good people that are there.
I was thrilled to hear about who's running.
Yeah, there's many, many good people. So if you have somebody that you would want to support, it certainly doesn't hurt to voice your preference. But the way it works is it is up to the remaining council members. They need 4 votes to decide it. I think that each of them are endorsing 3 different potential candidates that are interested. I think that's how it's going. And it'll be up to them on, I'm believing...
I think it's this Thursday, isn't it?
I think when they're really going to be talking about it's the 15th.
Okay. Okay,
and,
great.
And, but I think that they have to decide who they're going to be looking at. But it never hurts to sit there and write in, you know?
Okay, rwatnabe at government.com.
Kauai.gov.
Oh, Kauai.gov.com. Okay,
no, great. Kauai.gov.
Kauai.
Is that right? Let me look.
Yes.
Yeah, Kauai.gov.
No, com.
No com. Rwatanabe at Kauai.gov.
Oh, okay, Kauai, not Hawaii.
Yeah, Kauai.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely going to... there's several people that I would endorse, but you'd be at the top of the list, Felicia.
Oh, well,
all right.
Thank
and
you.
And we can get you some money for all this work you're doing.
I know, get paid for what I'm already doing. Well, you know, I think it's a hard job, what they're doing.
Well, you're doing a hard job anyway, for free. You know, and we know where you stand. I mean... I don't know. In a way, I kind of wouldn't want to do that to you.
I know.
Through that, but you have the guts to do it, so I would vote for it.
Thank you. I know when and Fern, by the way, is on the list too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people on the list.
Do you have the names of the people?
It's private.
It's
actually.
Private, but I can be the rumor mill, but it is just the rumor mill.
Yeah, just a rumor.
Just a rumor. I've heard Kipukai, and I've heard Kaipoa sing.
Yes.
Very often they take somebody who has already been in the council because they are already experienced. They can hit the ground running. They've done a lot of work to get there already in the past.
And do we know where Kaipo stands on this?
You could ask him.
Okay.
And that's just a rumor, but I've heard that.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, supporting KKCR from the beginning, continuing to support KKCR and encouraging others to contribute.
Oasis on the Beach, Oceanfront Dining in Kapaa, open daily from 12 p.m. For reservations, 822-9332 or oasiskauai.com.
A. Feinberg Galleries, three locations island-wide. Hanalei by Calypso, Poipu in the shops at Kukui Ula, and Princeville at St. Regis. Landscapes, abstracts, seascapes, and beyond, 634-5804 or expandingvisualreality.com.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned Kauai business, supports KKCR, dedicated to building high-quality bellotone instruments, 652-9999. Or KamoaUkuleleCompany.com.
Savage Shrimp. All our food is non-GMO, supporting local sustainable farming. Savage Shrimp for a sovereign Hawaiian nation.
Dove presents the 13th annual Homegrown Music Festival on Kauai, November 8, 9, and 10. 3 days, 30 acts, all ages. Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater, 635-5556. DovePresents.com.
Princeville Center, plenty of cool new businesses. Shop, dine, relax, live music nightly, the Princeville Center.
Puahina, Hawaiian Island Clothing Store in the heart of Hanapepe. Puahina on Facebook, 335-9771.
Kauai Marine and More urges you to add your voice to the song of Kauai by supporting KKCR. Please call in your pledge now.
Massage Therapy Advanced Bodywork Licensing Program. Structural Integration. Personal Growth. Pacific Center for Awareness and Bodywork. 25th year on Kauai. January 6th through June 26th. You can call Lee at 929-6797. www.awarenessandbodywork.com.
Goldsmiths Kauai creates fine jewelry designs with exquisite gems, pearls, and diamonds in our Wailua studio. Call 822-4653. Thanks, KKCR volunteers.
Dr. Donna Kaplan, naturopathic physician, holistic and Chinese medicine for the entire family since 1995. Offices in Kilauea and Lihue, 828-6153. AlohaFamilyHealthKauai.com.
The Greenery Cafe, Lihue's newest restaurant serving organic soul food, open breakfast and lunch, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. 3146 Akahi Street near Tip Top Motel, 635-2752.
B Food Truck Cafe in the Kojima's parking lot, Kapaa. Signature jalapeno cheddar chicken waffle sandwich, Homemade Burgers, and Ahi Sandwich. Bee Food Truck Cafe.
Williford Construction. Let us shipwright, build, or renovate your landlocked yacht. 635-2622.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox Live. We're just about out of here. KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Haleiwa, the station that loves you. So the history of jazz with Kirk a la Matt is going to be on in just a minute. I did have a caller calling in and ask, are people keeping track of the names of those who are sickened? I want to say yes and no. I don't know that there is really an official tracking going on. We're trying to get that going, but we are remembering and we are coming together. So thank you, everybody who has supported us. And that Wave Rider, we heard about the Homegrown Music Festival. My angel Ian and his band OCDC are in there. Kirk Smart's son is both OCDC and Tone 11. Lots of young kids. Isha's band is called
Tangled Roots.
Tangled Roots. So it's an opportunity to see big names and local folks. Aloha, and thank you so much.